This broadcast always begins with a bang. It starts with a little bit of noise from our theme song, but it is to alert you that it is time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We are so very, very happy to be part of the broadcast family of WMAF and with others who share the gospel right there in Madison and North Florida. And because WMAF streams by computer to the World Wide Web, what you're hearing right now can be heard anywhere in the United States of America, anywhere in the world, where anyone is connected by computer to the World Wide Web. So if you'd like to alert someone else about this broadcast, this programming, we would be so happy that you might become in a media missionary that would help others to discover these broadcasts and this fine station. I believe that family-friendly stations, particularly those who broadcast classic gospel music, classic country music, you just can't find that even in big cities. This broadcast originates from our church right here in Tampa, Florida. But and we don't have a station of the many stations. We pick up stations as far away as Orlando, right here from Tampa. We can't, however, get WMAF unless we are on computer. And there are people listening today by computer as this broadcast streams. And we're so happy that it does, because that means it can go places that we could never, ever imagine except through the World Wide Web. So if you're listening by computer, we welcome you today. And if you've downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. And if you don't know Jesus, please don't turn the channel. We want to inform you of how wonderful it is not only to be saved for eternity through His salvation and what He did at the cross, amen, but to have His personal help right here, right now, with whatever we are facing in our life. And I don't believe there's a person that can live very long in this world without needing help from above and the grace that flows from the heart of love that sent His Son to us. So we're just excited about getting into a message today called Weathering the Storms of Life. It's inevitable that storms will come to you, to me, and to everyone on this planet, everyone in this fallen world. Pick up the paper, listen to the news, people that you know personally. There is no fairy tale ending to our life story in the sense of living happily ever after without events that could depress us, defeat us, discourage us, just destroy us and devastate us. But God knows what we need, and He knows how to help you right where you are right now. He can reach way, way down. My dad is with the Lord now. He played violin in our church for years and years and years, gospel music. And he used to play a tune on the fiddle that I used to try to sing. He played a lot better than I could sing. But it was a song that said I was lost and undone without God nor His Son when He reached way down for me. You may be in a deep, deep pit of despair and discouragement today, but I'm going to tell you, our God can reach where you are right here, right now. I'm convinced of that. David put it this way, He lifted me from the miry clay, this pit. He called it a horrible pit on one occasion in the book of Psalms. Amen. And only someone in that pit can understand just how horrifying it is, how depressing it is. But God knows where you are today, and I believe that His hand is long enough to reach where you are and to lift you up and to lift you out. So please stay tuned today. I hope you're intrigued by this, the very title. Before we go into the Word of God today, which will be John 16 and verse 33, I want to invite you to our website. If you would just like to type in THCOG and Google it, or any good search engine, it will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida. There are 40 years of ministry represented here. So we've got over 1,000 sermons, I think over 1,300 on various subjects. We've got recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, and there is podcast, there is other MP3-friendly programs available that you might download any of these materials that you feel would be helpful to you. We just ask that you not charge anyone for anything, because we don't on our website. There are Bible helps, there are inspirational videos and music, and it is all for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, and the reaching out to those who do not know Him. Once again, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to stay tuned. Gather around the Word of God with us. We are reaching out to God for the help and strength we need, and we want you to know what is available through Him to you here today. Praise God. Our Father can become your Father today. Our God, your God, our Savior, and our help, your help. Praise the Lord. Well, having said that, we're moving forward, weathering the storms of life. Before we go to John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 33, a minister tells about encountering a hurricane in the Atlantic. He and the captain were visiting after the ship had safely skirted the outer edge of the storm. The captain of the ocean liner said that he lived by the philosophy that if the sea is calm, it will get rough. And if it gets rough, it will get smooth. Then the captain added, "But if you've got a good ship, you can ride it out. If you've got a good ship, you can ride it out." Now, I want to say something about Christian victory today. It's not never encountering stormy seas. It is the ability, through God's grace and power, to weather the storm, literally, to ride it out. If I couldn't weather storms, I would not be ministering today, celebrating 40 years of ministering the gospel through pastoral and evangelistic work. Riding out the storm is the key to Christian victory, not never encountering a storm. You see, we live in faulty bodies. This body that we have is not an eternal body yet. It is not glorified. We haven't been raised to that eternal body, that resurrection body. That power is in us as Christians, but that body is not yet ours. But so we live in faulty bodies, and we live in a fallen world, a world where sin has tainted and brought evil and wickedness and untold hurt and sorrow. This world filled with death and destruction is not the world that God willed, purposed, or created. It is the world that sin has corrupted, and sin has caused it to become what it is, because it allowed an evil one to enter and a darkness to enter. But there is a world to come, praise God, wherein dwelleth righteousness when He comes to reign and to rule. And until that day, we are going to have what seems to be inequities. There are going to be Christians who go through great trials, and they're going to be people who are very wicked, who seem to be doing rather well. And sometimes it's going to cause us to question God's faithfulness and even God's love. But I want to assure you today, amen, that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. We all suffer under the curse of living in a fallen world. Everyone will encounter heartache and heartbreak here. If you've lost a daddy or mama, my dad and my mom are now with the Lord. I kept them for many years. Consider myself to be very blessed. If you've lost a father or mother, you know already about the pain and heartache that it can bring, that death can bring. If you've lost a child, you know the hurt. We have a daughter with the Lord. Amen. It was a premature. We didn't even know Christ then, and we didn't have His comfort. But now we do. And I am absolutely certain that I will get to see my daughter. She will be my personal guide, showing me the glories of the holy city when I get home. I can't wait to see Lisa when I get there. Praise God. Amen. Friend of mine, I want you to know this is a hope that reaches beyond this veil of tears. It reaches beyond the grave. Death can't conquer the life that Christ has given us and that God has promised us in His Son. We want you to share that great hope today. Amen. We are in a faulty body. No one can dispute that. No one can deny that. Aging itself declares that we, at this point, even as Christians, we are in a faulty body. We certainly are living in a fallen world where evil and wickedness exist. Psychologists try to figure out, why did this person do this? What possessed that person to do that? There is an evil entity. There is one who is a fallen angel who was given influence in this world when Adam sinned. And because of that, death reigned where God wanted life to prevail. God is going to win this thing, however. Amen. There's a new heaven, there's a new earth coming, and nothing shall harm or hurt in His holy mountain. Praise God. The Bible said the lion and the lamb are going to lay down together when Jesus comes again. Hallelujah. It said they will beat their weapons of destruction into instruments of agriculture. The Bible said they will beat their spears into pruning hooks for harvesting. Praise God's and their swords into plowshares for planting. God has a wonderful plan for this old planet that is aching and shaking under the horrific result of the evil and wickedness that entered it. But the righteous one is coming, and I believe He's coming very, very soon. Until He comes, we acknowledge that we live in a faulty body, we live in a fallen world, but we have a very faithful Father, a heavenly Father that said, call upon me in the time of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Praise God. But we ride out these storms. And in John 16, in verse 33, is a promise that we will never find in a promise box. If you've ever gotten one of those little loaves of bread or little promise boxes in the Christian bookstore, every promise in there is of God's help and God's deliverance. This is no different. But preceding the promise of God's help is a promise that trouble and pressure will come even to the Christian life. Listen to John 16 and verse 33. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, this fallen world that we live, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The word tribulation here is the Greek word thelpsis. It's spelled thelpsis, thelpsis. And it means pressure, affliction, anguish. It means to be burdened. It means persecution and trouble, tribulation. In this world, you shall have thelpsis or tribulation. There will be pressure. There will be affliction. You know, the scripture said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. I love that scripture because it prepares us for the pressure of living in a faulty body, in a fallen world, with the promise of the faithfulness of God. Amen. It's an illusion to believe that becoming a Christian is going to relieve you of all pressure, but becoming a Christian promises you that there is a peace that can come in the midst of the storm. I think it was Billy Graham describing what Christian peace should be perceived as when he talked about a painting that he saw. And it was a great storm coming in off of the sea. I don't know if any of you live in or have been to Maine, but in Maine there are great rock cliffs and the tides are very high at high tide, very low at low tide. And I envision a place like some of those cliffs in Maine where where the Bar Harbor is where I visited years ago, or if you're from Maine, it's Bahaba. That's where I visited, and to see the sea when it was restless and roaring and stormy, and to see the great rock face. This painting was portraying someplace similar. And the storm is so raging and intimidating and traumatizing and strong and destructive. And yet, a little bird had found a cleft in the rock of that great rock face. And the little bird was sitting nestled in the cleft of that rock. And the bird knew, I don't have to fear the wind, the rain, the lightning, and the thunder, because I am in a place of absolute security and safety here in the midst of this storm. That is the correct perception and portrayal of Christian peace. It's not never facing the storms of life. It's riding it out with an absolute trust in the keeping power and the provision of God, something called grace that He calls and told Paul was sufficient for him. And when Paul discovered the sufficiency of God's grace, he didn't fear the storms of life anymore. It relieved him of the pressure, which is a normal reaction of reacting to pressure. The discouragement, the questioning, the fear that we won't be able to take it and to go through it. Amen. And Paul said, I'm going to start taking pleasure in the things that I once saw as pressure, because they will bring me deeper in to an understanding, appreciation, and appropriation of this wonderful grace that God grants. This grace that carries us through is what God grants to the Christian. Amen. If you're a Christian today and you've hit a storm, amen, I want you to know that you can ride it out with what God has provided for you. It's not something wrong necessarily that you did or I did. It's something that happened back so many years ago in the Garden of Eden that allowed evil and wickedness and darkness to come upon this world that God made good and right. But it isn't anymore. It's a fallen world. But we have a faithful Father. That's why Jesus said, I've spoke these things unto you that in me, not in the fallen world circumstantially, but in Him spiritually, in me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, anguish, pressure, affliction, persecution. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What a comforting message that Christ has given us. Peace in the midst of the storm. In Him, and an exhortation to be cheerful in spite of the pressures. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. I really like the way this Amplified speaks of itself. It brings it out. A little more of the Greek and the Hebrew meanings of some of these words and translating it accordingly. Listen to the Amplified paraphrase. Listen, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you shall have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted. I'm going to say that again, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. The old Phillips translation said, never lose heart. I have conquered the world. Amen. The reason Christ is a comforting Christ is because He is a conquering Christ. He holds all power in heaven and earth, praise God. He rides upon the flood. He rules the wind and rain. His victory is our victory, and His peace is our peace. Amen. One translation says, and don't permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled. John 14:27, Jesus reiterates again, and He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ's peace, friend, His very own peace, He now provides and promises us, His children. The Amplified of this says, My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. You know, I didn't think I had any control. He said, let not your heart be troubled. We can put our trust in God. Ah, friend, you know, the Bible is so very clear. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, you know, there's an old Christian song that I remember from my early days as a Christian, and now that I'm 66, we're going way back, amen. But I remember that song, and it said, some of you are old enough to remember it, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And the chorus reiterated that by saying, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If we trust and never doubt, He will surely bring us out. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. It's not hard when we're in trouble to run to God. It's not hard for a Christian to cry out to Him. It's not hard to take our burden to the Lord. The hard part is leaving it there. Getting up without worrying from that place of prayer. Getting up with a sense of peace and courage, strength and confidence by trusting God with it. The Bible said, in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. This is a peace that the world doesn't know anything about. It's not as the world gives. It's only as God grants. It's a peace that passes all understanding. The old timers used to say it. And I still say it today, it's better felt than telt. I can give you the theological explanation. I can give you the principles of it. I can tell you how God said it can be achieved. But friend of mine, until you experience that, in the midst of the pressure, when that peace comes, it is peace that passes all understanding. See, we can understand peace as the world gives. If you look it up in a dictionary, most of them will have something very similar to say about peace, the cessation of wars. A place of tranquility, a place where there's no strife, where all of these strugglings are over and there's a place of rest. Ah, but not in a fallen world and not in a faulty body. Ah, but through the provision of a faithful Heavenly Father, we have Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. The most endearing name given to Him as a royal title is not the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's part of His majesty. But to our personal life, the relevance to our personal life is Prince of Peace. Counselor, yes. Hallelujah. But best of all, Prince of Peace. You know, the Bible said we have peace with God through the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. And once you have peace with God, then He can grant to you the peace of God. And when that occurs in our life, money can't buy it. All of the money in the universe, in the world, could not purchase this peace. It's not for sale on the marketplace in Dubai, anywhere in the world. There is no billionaire that can buy peace. But the least of us can have that great gift of salvation and forgiveness, and God's peace can reign in our heart because we have a faithful Father who provides for us, who protects us, who purposes good, and can take everything that touches your life and mine and work it together for good and weave it into His eternal purpose to bring us good and Him glory in spite of it all. God has promised us that He would never leave us and forsake us. He'd go with us all the way through this fallen world, amen, and He would bring us into His great kingdom of love and peace. The kingdom of God, the Bible said, is not meat and drink, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus promised His peace, and His peace was based on the certain knowledge that God was in full and absolute control of every event that touched His life. He was confident and calm in the midst of the storm. And He said, that very peace, my peace, is available to you. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10 and 11. It said, then saith Pilate unto Him, speakest thou unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and the power to release thee? Listen to Jesus' answer to Pilate and see the key to the peace in the midst of the storm. He said in verse 11, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Praise God. Dake's reference Bible said you could not do anything unless God willed it. Praise God. Amen. You know, Pilate thought because of Rome's occupation of Israel and his personal authority as the governor that he had the power. And Jesus said, no, you're very wrong. You think you've got the power. God is the one that has the true power, particularly over me and my circumstance. Unless he willed it, you couldn't do anything. Pilate said, I have the power. Jesus said, God has the power. If you have any, it's because God allows it. He had perfect peace because he knew God was in control. So when Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, it's this peace of knowing that God is in control. Praise God. And if God's in control, then even though it seems out of control, it truly isn't. God is behind the scenes. God is at work. And God has a will and a purpose in everything. And He can subdue everything according to the Scripture to His own will and eternal purpose. Praise God. And that means today, friend, you may be in a storm and you may be storm-tossed, but you have a faithful Father. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Lean upon Him. He will bring you through with a greater understanding of grace and mercy and His sovereign power. Praise God. If you're not a Christian today, this peace that He offers begins with peace with God. And peace with God begins with sins forgiven. And sins forgiven begins with Jesus, amen, hanging on a cross that we might come to the Father through Him and be forgiven. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not talking about being psychic or anything. I'm just telling you, I was lost before I was saved, lost before I was found, and there is no peace. The Bible said there is no peace to the wicked, and there was none to me until Jesus Christ came into my heart, my life, my sins were forgiven. Amen. And today I know there's a storm in your soul if you don't know Him. A storm that the sun never comes out from behind those clouds for long, if at all. And I want you to know that Jesus stands ready today to save you. God stands ready to forgive you. Amen. And to be your provider, your protector, and your peace through this world and eternally in the world to come. Call upon Him today. Confess your sins. Invite Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, into your heart and your life. And beginning with forgiveness, the certainty that you belong to Him, peace will rule and reign today. Praise God. Hallelujah. This mighty God will save you. If you're a Christian today, put your trust in God. Rest in Him. Wait upon Him. Hallelujah. I know that God loves you. He cares about you. And come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.